Fun fact, you can't get pregnant every day. You're only fertile for 6 days, ovulation day and the 5 days leading up to it. Natural Cycles is the only birth control app that can pinpoint your fertile window by analyzing your hormone-driven temperature trends. It's more than just a basic cycle tracking app. Natural Cycles is the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app and has helped millions prevent and plan for pregnancy naturally. Save 15% when you sign up today with code RADIO15. Learn more at naturalcycles.com.
How are we not talking more about the Diddy trial? Do you pay attention to the Diddy trial?
Only when there's a major development in it.
Has there been? I mean, it's supposed to wrap up, right?
Well, I just keep seeing now that people are saying, oh my gosh, are you kidding me? Diddy's going to walk free.
Yeah.
But I haven't looked into it enough to know why that's the case.
It's hard to look into. And I will tell you that the reason why we don't talk about it a lot here is because I can't say most of the words necessary to report on it.
You can say freak off. You should say it more often. Sorry, I got a little heated there.
Go on.
There's no real reason for you to say it more often other than just that anytime I hear a news person say freak off,
it's weird.
I'm like, they had to say that.
It's just part of our conversation now. It's just part of what we discuss. It's bizarre. What's the consequence? What's the fallout of what Diddy did?
Did he do it? Also, what is a freak off?
No.
No.
Because I don't think that I've ever been to one.
You ask that question next time you're on the Mark Cox Show.
I will.
Just
Tuesday.
Throw it out there. You want to give a timestamp?
Tuesday at 8:30.
It's called appointment listening, people.
Come back for the Mark Cox Morning Show where I just ask everybody in the room, Kim, what's a freak off?
Let's start with Mark. Let's start there. When I'm paying attention to the story, like all those disgusting details, if everything is among consenting adults, while it's depraved and debaucherous, I don't really want to know those details. Was he committing crimes? Were there minors involved? Did he abuse people? Where's the Epstein list? That's really, to me, everything comes back to, where is the information here? And I'm wondering, does the Diddy conversation intersect with the Epstein conversation? In my mind, it's completely the same, but I can't in a court of law explain how that's the case. So I don't know if the information is out there and I'm just not seeking it out because I'm kind of repulsed by it, or if it's not out there and there are all these people making these allegations. I mean, there's a lot of conspiracy about what's going on with the Epstein stuff. But there's also a lot of really, really, really factually based, evidence-based things that Epstein was involved in. And we just kind of have moved on from it.
I want to make the case that I don't think the Diddy case, actually probably Epstein too, but the Diddy case in particular, is just a legal case. I'm not saying that I want to know everything that happened in those parties, whatever we're calling
What's happening to your voice?
Well, I don't want to
Don't do it! Go back to something else.
I don't really know what was going on in those freak offs, but here's the thing: if it was really, really disgusting stuff. I mean, stuff that makes your stomach go, oh gosh, how could they be doing this for fun with each other and with probably non-celebrities? These are the people running entertainment in the United States in a lot of ways. And so while I don't want to know every single detail, I do want to know, what are you willing to compromise? And then what are you willing to share with the rest of the world that you're like, yeah, this is okay because I'm okay with it.
Is he a Fed?
Did he?
I've heard it.
I have not heard that one.
That he wasn't. Haven't? You haven't heard that he's cooperating with the feds?
No.
But that would make them in on it. Which is a conspiracy. I'll just go to NBC News here, and here's what they say you need to know about the trial. Assistant U.S. Attorney Christy Slavik urged members of the jury to, quote, use common sense. Good advice, Christy. As the government began its final arguments that Combs allegedly used his business empire as a criminal enterprise, The U.S. attorney Slavik said Combs's young assistants didn't blink an eye and did whatever it took to make him happy during their employ, even if it meant facilitating crimes. Combs faces 5 criminal counts. 1 count of racketeering conspiracy. 2 counts of sex trafficking by force, fraud, or coercion. And 2 counts of transportation to engage in prostitution. Combs has vociferously denied the allegations against him. This live briefing may include graphic depictions of sexual violence. So when you're watching all of this, I know that there's the video of him coming out in a towel and beating this girl down to the ground and just kicking her. And like, I don't think that you're... I don't understand being attracted to this stuff to follow it, but I also do not like true crime stuff. So I think that if you're a true crime person, you're probably paying attention to this more. I know it's a very, very, very popular content category. This report came just a few minutes ago on NBC News. The traveling freak-off show was always in motion and coming to a glamorous locale near you, according to Slavik. Ventura and male escorts traveled through Los Angeles, Miami, New York, Atlanta, the Turks and Caicos. Did I say that right? Islands and Ibiza, according to travel and credit card records cited by the prosecutor. So he would take the freak-off show on the road.
You said it.
I did. You win. Interstate transportation for prostitution, 2 of the 5 counts against Combs, is likely the least talked about part of the case. And that's reflected as Slavik saves it for the last portion of her closing argument. Slavik reviewed travel itineraries for sex workers who were flown out across the country for Combs' freak-offs. She went over the payment as well, which were put on Combs' American Express card. Big Amex.
Amex is like, wait, hang on.
What's the slogan for American Express?
Don't leave home without it.
I don't think
we're everywhere you want to be. No, that's Visa, isn't it? I don't know.
Visa's like, I think we're going to sue you. While the defense might try to say Combs's highest ranking employees were unaware of his freak offs, the prosecution, it's, by the way, every time NBC News reports freak offs, it's in quotations.
Oh, okay. So they're quoting somebody else who said freak off.
No. I mean, nothing else is in quotations. It's them saying it. They're using that word, but it's as if they're not accepting it into the English language quite yet.
We don't know what else to call this, so we're calling it a
is it always
freak off.
The end of the year where Webster Dictionary is like, let's go over the new words in the dictionary. Freak off's going to be in there.
Yeah.
Oh, it's that's unfortunate.
It's like Dr. Evil and magma.
Yeah. Segma. Slavik noted how Christina Corum got workers to the hotel rooms and that she did damage control. Combs's head of security mentioned it to Combs's former assistant and helped buy drugs for Combs. A former assistant saw video of a freak
magma
on a staff
iPad. They're
both
very hot.
Yeah, okay. It defies logic to think his most trusted lieutenants were in the dark. They knew what was happening, and they helped him do it. Did you ask a question in an X's and O's segment one time about Obama-shaped ecstasy tablets?
Yes.
That was so weird, because I think I had gone... That might have been in April, and I had to take I took a weekend with my daughter out of town, and like dipped into X every... maybe just a couple times. And I was seeing all these pictures of Barack Obama, but it looked like this is just the frame of mind, folks. We eat Mickey waffles in my house. So like you take Mickey's head, but you put it on a waffle. And I kept seeing this like cartoon picture of like an Obama waffle. But it turned out it was an ecstasy pill.
Yes, it was.
Why were they handing out ecstasy pills? Was it to celebrate his presidency or something?
I don't remember exactly why, but ecstasy makes things feel more intense. That's why they were taking the drug itself. Why they were shaped like Obama, not sure.
I don't need to know how ecstasy works. That's not the detail of interest here. It's why would you take them and make them look like Obama waffles?
Well, I just think a lot of things were going on at those freak-offs.
Anyway. YouTube live chat poll. How much destruction did the airstrikes cause to Iran's nuclear facilities? Setback for months, setback for years, or obliterated? Brad, you said...
obliterated. I think that place is gone.
Ryan?
Setback for years.
And I said setback for years. Come vote. Annie Fry YouTube channel, youtube.com/@AnnieFry, or on the YouTube app, wherever you have that. Joe says, looks pretty effed up from fluorescent, but I don't really have the full data.
F is for fluorescent?
It's a, yes. Mm-hmm. And Katie said, obliterated. The key word in the poll is facilities. I believe the facilities are obliterated, but the Iranian leadership still desires a nuke. Their nuclear aspirations are set back years. What a good, nuanced point, Katie. All right, when we return, it's time for the local news with Ethan, which is what I'm going to call it. What Ryan calls it, you'll have to stick around to find out next. Don't go away.
Meet Natural Cycles, the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app that's built around your body. The Natural Cycles app pinpoints your fertile days by tracking shifts in your temperature, so you can plan or prevent pregnancy naturally. It's easy to use. Simply take your temperature in the morning with our free Bluetooth thermometer included with our annual plan, or sync with your Oura Ring or Apple Watch. The app analyzes your data and tells you daily whether it's a fertile or non-fertile day. Natural Cycles is 93% effective with typical use and 98% effective with perfect use. But beyond effective birth control, the app helps you understand your body and cycle better than ever. And unlike some period tracking apps, Natural Cycles provides an advanced data protection program to keep your information private and secure. Ready to go hormone-free? Sign up for the Natural Cycles annual plan and get a free Bluetooth thermometer, plus 15% off your subscription with the code RADIO15 at naturalcycles.com.
The Abraham Accords be expanded, that more countries come into it, and we are working on that on my team and in coordination with the Secretary of State and the entire State Department. And we think we're going to have some pretty big announcements on countries that are now coming into the Abraham Peace Accords. And we're hoping for normalization across an array of countries that maybe people would have never contemplated would come in. So we're excited for that prospect. That will also be a stabilizer in the Middle East.
So there is the Special Envoy for Peace Mission, Steve Witkoff, saying, yeah, we're going to expand the Abraham Accords and bring in some new players. Everybody okay with that? All hands on deck. And CNN's like, no.
This looks good for Trump. It must be bad.
World peace? Dang it.
That's terrible.
Well, let's bring it local. That's the world. Let's go local.
Check it out. Mega Muffin's mostly manic musings.
What is the matter with you? Where do you come up with these things?
First day, it was Ethan's saucy soiree. Yesterday was Gangsta Ethan's mega segma. And today, it's Ethan's, our Mega Muffin.
I didn't even hear Ethan in there.
Yeah, I don't think Ethan was in there.
Why?
Let's go back.
Check it out. Mega Muffin's mostly manic musings.
Mega Muffin.
Mega Muffin.
Is that just instead of Ethan?
Yeah.
Okay. What do you got for us today, Ethan?
Well, I had to, it's going to become a normal thing where I have to type out the title of my segment before I can actually get into it today.
I think Ryan has to also.
You know, any time that you have a new segment, you kind of got to get the feel for what it's going to be like in a lot of different ways.
Yeah, we're making that hard on you.
I am quickly learning that it's going to be really difficult to discuss anything serious or actually sad when it starts off like that.
That's true. I was going to say, we're serious people. We can be.
I don't want to hear a bunch of sad local news.
And that's why we're going to talk about some fun stuff. Mega Muffins, mostly manic musings. Wow. Do you guys as Illinoisans ever get frustrated?
Yes.
Hold on.
Every day. And that's a wrap.
Great.
Hold up. Check it out.
Do you ever get frustrated?
Yes.
Not having all of the restaurant or food options that, or just the things to do that you have on the Missouri side, whether it be in St. Louis or St. Charles. I don't know. I feel like
in Edwardsville. We have three of everything.
So here's the thing, though. Edwardsville now, yes, but 15 years ago, it wasn't like that. So
no,
maybe you could argue
those were the days.
It feels like there's just more of it greater St. Louis wise than there is in just Edwardsville. But you kind of made my point there, is that like Edwardsville, it feels like in the last handful of years has really begun to catch up, and they continue to catch up because they're adding another big St. Louis classic restaurant. They are getting a Salt and Smoke.
I know.
Did you guys hear about this?
Right across from Handy Mart on Main Street.
The whole premise for that sounded very elitist.
It did. Like, oh, you people over there.
And, you people and over there the don't thing. Have anything. Have you ever played golf?
Yeah. Have you ever heard of food? Ethan is one of
you
us
guys
and he left
forget
us.
That I am an Illinoisan originally.
Not now.
Are you now?
No, I don't identify as one now.
Have you like turned away from your Illinois roots?
Yes.
Dang it.
I hate Illinois with a burning passion. I love the people in Southern Illinois.
I don't think that Illinois is missing anything that St. Louis has to offer.
Probably not at this point now, but I just remember growing up being like, oh man, there's just nothing to do in Bethalto. Like, I can't wait to move to the Missouri side where there's just
always more to do. You can fly planes at the airport.
It's true. My mom works close to there.
Yeah?
Yeah.
The DMV?
Cuts hair over there.
Oh, right next to the DMV.
Yeah, right next to the DMV.
It must be nice living over in Missouri if you just want food, you know, or a light bulb.
But
or,
the
hey,
good thing is we have deer and geese.
We do.
In case we get really hungry.
But what if you want a sled? Where do you go? Oh, Walmart. Wow, they have those everywhere in Missouri.
A sled?
Just stores that have everything.
What about snow?
Very specific.
We should, yeah.
So,
I need some washcloths. I could just go down to the store
we
and get
them. Just stand around walking and bumping into each other.
I think maybe Ryan took out the Ethan in the title for it today because he wanted it to secretly become his segment.
Welcome to my life, Ethan.
Yeah. We rename the show when she's gone.
Literally. And everybody loves it.
It's great.
I heard the Manny Fry Show, super popular. What I heard is, anytime to take a vacay.
No. Don't do that. It's a lot of work.
The founder.
Also, welcome to my life.
The founder and owner of Salt and Smoke, Tom Schmidt, saying, "We've been fortunate to grow alongside our amazing community, and we're thrilled to cross the river and bring Salt and Smoke to the Metro East."
Everyone from Missouri is like, goodbye.
This town has such a vibrant food scene and welcoming energy. We can't wait to be a part of it. It will be the 8th location for Salt and Smoke, and it'll be housed in an old fire station and is part of a new development that will include a 4-story office building on one side and luxury apartments on the other. There'll be more details on it.
I think it's built already.
Oh, really?
Well, it's an old fire station.
Well, it's the old fire station in Edwardsville on Main Street, just a couple blocks down from the Wildy, because they built a beautiful new facility just a little bit south of there. There's a building. They've renovated part of that. Maybe they haven't done that. I saw that story about Salt and Smoke, and I was pretty excited about it.
I'm glad to hear you guys still have a fire station, though. It's not just housing restaurants and office
space. It was pretty shaky in between. It doesn't matter. We just call Missouri when there's a fire.
Come on over to Missouri.
Yeah. Uh-oh. Looks like something's burning.
There's a fire happening. Call the next state.
Call Mo.
No,
show me a fire truck.
Find your MO. Speaking of potential restaurants or restaurant chains coming over to the St. Louis area in general, Zaxby's is also exploring some expansion to the St. Louis region. Brad and I were just having this conversation the other day. Mm-hmm. He was really excited about this. I was like, okay, cool, because I'm a big Raising Cane's fan.
Yeah.
And he, you know, kind of insinuated that he thinks that Raising Cane's is just kind of average.
Who
and
does?
Overrated.
And I got a little bit heated about it.
Their sauce and the bread is great. The fries are okay. And the chicken is just eh.
And I took that personally.
I'm with Brad.
I take that personally. Annie?
Raising Cane's?
Yeah.
I've had it once. I was not as angry about it as these gentlemen. I did have Chick-fil-A a couple nights ago, and it remains king.
There's one of those in Edwardsville now, too, isn't there?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Of course there is.
Time I ever had a Zaxby's.
There's actually two of them in Edwardsville now.
In Georgia, right outside the Cabbage Patch Museum.
That's a thing? That's not a thing. You're lying. You're
it's
a
the
liar.
Worst in these
You're
segments.
Liar!
The worst when I come in halfway into what Ryan's talking about because I wasn't paying attention to the first. And I have to judge if he's saying something real or not. I always
it's real.
No, what'd you say?
First time I ever had a Zaxby's.
What is a Zaxby's?
It was when I was in Georgia visiting the Cabbage Patch Museum.
That is real.
That is a real
story. Is it real?
Of course it's a real story. I wouldn't make up something that stupid.
He's got a point. We're going to stick with food here for a couple of minutes. So, funny story, a little backstory context behind this next one. This past weekend, my in-laws were in town, and they went and they picked up some Old Town Donuts. And on the box, there was a sticker that had the number 64 on it with like a bunch of little like brackets, right? And they were like, I wonder what that is. I was like, you know, I bet it's probably like there's some sort of tournament that they're in for like best food or best donuts or something like that. And then an article
best
popped.
Chicken.
Maybe. That would be stretching it a little bit, but maybe.
We didn't win best chicken this year. Again.
That's some kind of, if Old Town Donuts were to win a big award, that is the promo that Ryan would make to celebrate them. But how's their chicken?
Not as good as you'd think.
Well, anyway. It was only a couple of days later that I saw that that's exactly what it is. They were in a contest for the best donuts in America, and they freaking won the whole thing.
That's so cool.
Best Donuts in America tournament, won by Florissant's Old Town Donuts, which I thought was pretty cool. So congratulations.
Freaking won.
To Old Town Donuts. The tournament was hosted by the 64. It pitted, like I said, the donut shops against one another in a bracket with multiple rounds, and you could go on and vote. And it's clearly St. Louis has some pride in their donuts.
And congratulations to the Annie Fry Show for mentioning it without being bribed with donuts to mention it.
Congratulations to us.
Hooray, us.
We've come a long way.
We would take donuts.
Yes, we would. Yes, or chicken. Or any of those restaurants, even the ones we don't like that much.
Or cookies, because we have some good ones of those in the area, too. Awesome. Grandma's Cookies, for the second straight year, just won Best Cookie Shop in the U.S., and this was according to USA Today.
St. Louis has great food.
Yeah.
St. Louis is such a great scene. We just need to be a safer city.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
I would say
and
that.
Cook chicken better at more restaurants.
Zaxby's is coming.
Stay in your lane, people. Especially you, Ryan. Where is your lane? What is your lane?
Maybe we could get a Cabbage Patch Museum here, too.
It's the turn lane. Anytime you're going straight, I'm like,
it is. Let's stick right here with some fun and get Trisha in here next. Annie, are you okay? She brings the crazy into the studio, and we try to keep the chaos to a minimum. We'll be right back.
Meet Natural Cycles, the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app that's built around your body. The Natural Cycles app pinpoints your fertile days by tracking shifts in your temperature, so you can plan or prevent pregnancy naturally. It's easy to use. Simply take your temperature in the morning with our free Bluetooth thermometer included with our annual plan, or sync with your Oura Ring or Apple Watch. The app analyzes your data and tells you daily whether it's a fertile or non-fertile day. Natural Cycles is 93% effective with typical use and 98% effective with perfect use. But beyond effective birth control, the app helps you understand your body and cycle better than ever. And unlike some period tracking apps, Natural Cycles provides an advanced data protection program to keep your information private and secure. Ready to go hormone-free? Sign up for the Natural Cycles annual plan and get a free Bluetooth thermometer, plus 15% off your subscription with the code RADIO15 at naturalcycles.com.
And now it's time to play Is Annie Okay With This?
All right, this is where Trisha presents some stories here and asks me if I'm okay with them, and Ryan answers them for me.
Eventually, you get to weigh in.
When you allow it. Hi, Trisha.
Hi, Annie and crew.
How are you?
I'm fine. How are you guys doing?
Doing okay.
Great. Right.
It's not as hot in here as it usually is at this time.
No, it's very comfortable.
What do you got?
Americans use their phones on the toilet an average of 49 hours per year.
All right, Ryan. You take this.
That is just over two full days.
49 hours a year?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Two full days is all? Mm-hmm. I'll go in there for three full days.
Hey.
Oh, never mind.
Hey.
60% of the time they're on social media. 40% of the time they're watching videos. 36% of the time they're responding to emails or DMs. 29% of the time they're playing games. And 8% of the time they're actually talking on the phone.
Mm-mm.
Annie, are you okay with talking on the phone in the bathroom?
In the bathroom or on the toilet?
On the toilet.
I don't want to know what people are doing. If you're talking about people talking to me, I have small children, so nothing that I ever do is really that private.
Fair.
For instance, last night I was taking a shower and glass door, and so it's just like a revolving door of the littles. And my second youngest came in, and I was washing my face, I was getting the makeup off my eyes, mascara, and she walked in and she looked at me. She goes, "Whoa!" And I was like, "What?" She's like, "You got a little something there." And then she walked out. She comes back in, and I had thought I washed out. I'm like, "Is it better?" She goes, "It's just on the bags of your eyes now." And I'm like, and my 12-year-old is around the corner. And she sticks her head and like, she goes, "Mom, it's okay." And then I go, "The bags of my eyes." And she just, Evelyn says, "It's okay, Mom. It's just because you're tired." This is why I'm in the shower. So I will have full-on conversations with humans in the bathroom when they decide to come in. But like, if I'm speaking to any of you and that is going on, never ever let me know. I do not want to know that.
Would you call one of these guys?
Call? Yeah. No calls.
That's 8% of people are just sitting there yucking it up on their phone.
There is nobody that I feel that comfortable with on the face of the planet that I would be sharing that moment with, or that I would want to share that moment with.
I'm going to ask from now on, though.
Annie, on the toilet.
Anytime you call.
All right. Well,
where are you?
How often do I call you?
It's a lot of reverb.
It's real echoey there.
How often do I call you?
I'd say once, maybe a year.
It's only when I'm in the bathroom.
Can we all agree, though, that in a public bathroom, anything that makes noise, not okay. Watching videos, talking on the phone. I understand if once in a great while an emergency happens, you get a call you've been waiting on for 2 months.
No! No! That call is too important to take on the toilet.
No, you got to take it, though. But you got to wrap things up fast. Get out of there.
Woman charged with...
Who are you talking to?
Okay, well,
CBS. They finally picked up my pilot.
Sounds like an Austin Powers game. Show that who's boss.
Woman charged with third-degree felony stalking after marrying her ex without his consent.
Well, that would qualify.
This is out of Texas. A man returned home one day to a Bath & Body Works gift bag that contained a certified marriage license.
Bath & Body Works.
As well as a photo of his ex-girlfriend holding said license. A note inside read, quote, "Congrats, maybe call your wife." Apparently, the two had been in a relationship and had planned to get married, but they broke it off before the wedding.
Did he have a wife?
He did. No, he had. This is an ex-girlfriend.
Mm-hmm.
They were going to get married. They got the marriage license. He was like, "I think there are some warning signs here. We're not going through with this." He broke it off. She took the marriage license, called a reverend friend of hers, told him that she needed this certified, and made up some excuse as to why the groom couldn't be present. And then took it to the courthouse
and filed
it. So she was under arrest, and the reverend is very sorry.
Annie, are you okay with secret families?
Annie, are you okay with Bath & Body Works?
Wouldn't it be weird if I had one? I feel real nervous right now.
Yeah, you should.
Bath & Body Works?
Yep.
Did you say Bed Bath & Beyond the first time, or Bath & Body Works?
I think Bath & Body Works.
I love Bath & Body Works. It's a special place in my heart because it was a huge deal in the 90s.
Mm-hmm. I still love the soap. I nerd out anytime I can. It's too expensive to do all the time, but I like the soap.
I usually buy Meyer soap now, but Bath & Body Works stuff is good, but it's just I am getting of the age where I need a better quality product for my skin.
Fair enough.
Sad face all around.
Yeah.
I use Irish Spring.
That's just the most dude thing ever.
The top of the top.
I think we have Irish Spring in our shower right now that Jared uses.
I thought it was classy until now.
For you, it is.
I'm a little ashamed.
It's a step up.
I was saying something that would be impressive.
So hold on. What? Okay, hold on. If Irish Spring is classy, what's for the normies, the little people out there?
Like old slabs that you find in abandoned houses.
It's like ivory.
Like the little ivory slivers.
Yeah, there's little slivers. When you go in a house that you're not supposed to be in, you're like, "Oh, hey, free soap."
That's
nasty.
How dedicated are you to getting...
I guess I'll stop.
The last sliver of the bar of soap. Do you like mold it to the next bar of soap?
No, I just keep using it. Yeah, I'll roll it up into a tiny little ball. because you can't use it as a sliver when it gets that thin. So you gotta
you
give
it
some
dropping
mass.
The soap.
I do. I keep dropping the soap, and I'm like, oh my gosh, old habits.
Old habits. From when Ryan was in prison.
No! Oh my gosh, that's where you took it? Ew. You
where
guys.
Else? Correct me.
When I was at home, I just dropped the soap. Gosh.
A little game
but
you
I've
play
gotten
with
older.
Oop, there it goes.
Little games you play
I'm
with your
pick
kid.
It up.
Soap dropping. You know, people do the apple bobbing and soap dropping.
People don't.
I've seen it at picnics.
Pin the tail on the donkey.
This is too much chaos.
Hit it again.
Freak umbrella accident leaves
ooh,
lifeguard impaled.
Oh, I saw this.
Umbrella? It's terrible. This happened at a New Jersey beach. The lifeguard was impaled by an umbrella stake through her left shoulder and sticking out the back of her arm by about a foot.
Wow.
Yeah, ouch. First responders, she's in stable condition. First responders had to
oh,
cut
good.
The
good, she
stake.
Didn't die.
No.
Yeah. I okay. saw the headline and I just kind of assumed the worst and I did not want to click on anything because I didn't want to see anything.
It just went through her shoulder. But
her left shoulder, that's real close to your heart.
Mm-hmm. You want to use a regular umbrella or a super sharp one? It looks like it's going to rain. Let's take the super sharp one today.
Ryan.
First responders had to cut the stake off to transfer her to the hospital. According to the U.S. Consumer Product Safety Commission, airborne beach umbrella incidents have become increasingly common.
It's a whole category for it.
So
they're tracking it.
There's these umbrellas just flying all willy-nilly. Annie, are you okay with umbrellas?
And umbrella violence. Umbrellas are a nice idea. And this is where men should know their role and hold them for the ladies.
I hate so opening them and
opening
closing
them.
They
get water everywhere.
They pinch your fingers.
Yeah.
The Velcro wears out.
Ryan gets it.
An umbrella, you're talking about classy things. An umbrella is something that if you have and it's pouring rain, you'll be like, oh, I got an umbrella in this car. You feel like a king or a queen because you have it. But it's kind of like wearing a coat when it starts to get cold. For me, at least, it takes way too long for me to concede the coat wearing because you have to carry it. Then you have to keep it. Then you got to put it somewhere when you get to work. Does that sound like a really, really difficult thing to do? No, but somehow it is. And an umbrella is kind of the same thing. Like, you have to have it with you. You don't need it necessarily all the time. But when you do have it and you use it, you're like, why don't I do this all the time?
I agree. It's like the Irish Spring of water repellents.
I carried an umbrella with me every day of my vacation this past week. Every day. I bought it on the first day.
Hmm. Did you use it?
Yes, every day. It was rainy and...
Did it pinch your fingers?
No, it did not.
Did the Velcro work?
Yes, it was brand new.
It was new.
Wow.
I can vouch for that.
Well, that's that.
Great stories.
And unrelated, cheerleading company Varsity Spirit is aiming for a 2032 Olympics bid by launching the Pro Cheer League. Cheerleaders will now have a professional platform to prepare for international competition. The brand claims this will be the world's first vehicle for cheerleaders over 18 to train, compete, and perform as pros on the national stage. Both men and women will be eligible. However, the International Olympic Committee, who recognized cheer in 2021, does not guarantee an event. Annie, are you okay with professional cheerleading?
Oh, gosh. Yes. Very happy.
You sure?
Very happy for you.
Is there an age limit?
Over 18.
What about
okay?
Senior.
Over 18.
Elderly.
Those are the only rules I know.
The cheerleading senior tour.
The problem is I get in there and I just freeze. I say, ready, okay, and then I'm done.
Ready, okay. No. No, I am not.
And when they say no, I'm like, oh, crap. What
did any? Do you guys, are you Muni people?
I've been once. It was fabulous.
I'm aware of the Muni.
I'm not. I would not consider myself a Muni person.
I'm not a Muni person. I've never been. That is a St. Louis thing that I have never done.
It's super cool.
From what I've heard, it's super hot.
Also true.
I probably need to go to the Muni. I bet I would love it because I love performance and all of that. But Bring It On, I think, was just there. Is it done?
I don't know if it's done. It's been there in the last week,
Didn't Lin-Manuel Miranda show up at it?
Yes. And Kennedy Holmes, who is a St. Louis local... native and on American Idol, I believe.
Yeah.
Is actually in that performance.
That's really cool.
Mm-hmm.
I love live performance.
Actually, Ethan might have gone to see it.
Well, Bring It On. I just watched Bring It On with Jensen a couple months ago. I'm trying to show her like all of these movies. And the whole time, if they're from the 90s, there are so many things that are culturally irrelevant now that I have to explain when they say something. For instance, How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days is all about a journalist who writes articles, the how-to articles in like Composure, which I think is the Cosmo of the movie. And I'm like, these are magazines. Magazines are like books with pictures and advertisements.
Oh, that's weird. Yeah.
I mean,
they wouldn't have no concept of that.
Not the way
we did.
Did you grow up, was there a magazine for you, Ryan?
Actually, I subscribed to Rolling Stone back before, when it was about music.
When you were a raging lib?
Yeah, and I read the articles only. I didn't get it for the pictures. I want to make that clear.
I don't know if we're talking about the same thing. What about you, Trisha? Did you get, were you ever a magazine person?
Oh, yeah. Cosmo. There was like a teen Cosmo, mm-hmm. some kind of teen beat. Yeah, I loved magazines.
What about you, Brad?
Car and Driver and Motor Trend.
I used to get Beckett. And,
oh, yeah, me too.
Yeah. I remember, I think it's, check me on this. It could be February 1992. The cover of the Beckett might have been Babe Ruth.
Black and white, that sounds right.
Real close to his face. But I think it might be February 1992. You should look up and see.
Great.
If that's actually accurate, then I'm going to put myself into a ward of some kind. I don't know why I would know that. I would also get at the store, like, Teen Beat. What were all those magazines? It was just a bunch of pictures of Jonathan Taylor Thomas and Jonathan Brandis from Ladybugs. And writer Strong. Mm-hmm. Was he in
Boy Meets World? Yeah.
Yeah. I used to get those magazines.
February 1995.
Oh, man.
You had the month right.
Yeah, no kidding.
But I recognize the cover.
That's impressive.
It's the real close up of I still have that somewhere.
I would check my baseball cards every month to see if they had gone up or down.
Same.
And I'm like, where? I don't even care about them anymore. They're in a box somewhere.
Do you have them?
I still have them.
I just got mine out in the last couple months and was looking through them. Cal Ripken Jr. was the number one card I collected, and my brother collected Ken Griffey Jr. We'd open cards, get one from the other guy I liked, and we'd swap them. It was fun. All right, results of the YouTube live chat poll. How much destruction did the airstrikes cause to Iran's nuclear facilities? You go vote and tell us what you think. Trisha, thanks for being here with us.
Thanks for having me.
We'll have you back again soon. We'll be right back. Don't go away.
Raises great balls of fire. Kiss me, baby.
Elon Musk.
Who?
That's a no.
The first buddy.
Do you, you guys covered the Elon Musk spat. I was in Hawaii when that whole thing fell apart. Did you guys spend a lot of time on it?
Yes.
Yeah, we did.
What was the discussion like?
Well, it was about, actually, I think one of the polls we did.
Whose side are you on?
Yes, actually, it was, whose side are you on in the budget battle? Because Elon's point was, we're spending too much money, we're not cutting enough from this thing. And Trump was still saying, yes, we are past the budget. And so we kind of did a whose side are you on. But then it changed the next day when he started dropping stuff that had nothing to do with the budget. So I think we talked about it.
Whose side were you on?
In the budget battle, Elon's.
In the next part then also.
I thought he went too far.
Mm-hmm.
What about you, Brad?
Yeah, I was totally with, well, I thought Trump was right on the budget battle. And then I definitely thought Elon went too far. It was actually kind of sad to watch that happen.
Yeah, it was weird. I dipped in a little bit. It was on the TV every once in a while when I was on vacation, and I was like, I'm not doing it, not getting into it. And then the morning I came back, Elon Musk's like, I regret things I said.
Yeah.
And then, I mean, that was really the end of it.
It was an odd, well, that was about 2 days that the initial spat was going on. Then it kind of died down, and then he apologized.
There's this video on X that I saw from Elon Musk, and this is what I appreciate about Elon Musk, because this guy, he is a modern genius. I don't know that anybody could deny that his role in, you know, our generation, he is going to have his fingerprints as a name that will exist with this generation, with his time. Him getting into politics, I think he spent so much of his own money and so much of his own time and so much of his know-how. He applied and he gave so much of it. And then did he get frustrated and decide to come out, move out of it? Did he have a disagreement and they told him, you've done a lot here. We appreciate you. We're going to take the essence of what you've put together here and move on without you. I don't know. I don't really care. But I do want Elon Musk to continue to be pro-America. I do want him to continue to be outspoken. And I also want the Elon Musk mentality, that creator genius mentality, to continue to be discussed. This is what he talked just about humans. So take the politics out of it, but just about like how you can be as a person.
Try to be as useful as possible. It may sound trite, but it's so hard to be useful, especially to be useful to a lot of people. Where you say the area under the curve of total utility is like how useful have you been to your fellow human beings times how many people? It's almost like the physics definition of true work. It's incredibly difficult to do that. And I think if you aspire to do true work, your probability of success is much higher. Don't aspire to glory. Aspire to work.
Don't aspire to glory. Aspire to work. If you assess your value to people, not intrinsically as a human being, but like when he uses the word utility there, like the actual value of work, we have to get back to a mentality in this country where we value what we put in. Not what am I getting out of this all of the time? The question always being like, but hand out, what about it? Give it to me. Gimme, 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 gimme. That's the mentality that's gotten us way, way, way into $37 trillion in debt. That's crippled the country's ability to look and have pride on what we are individually capable of doing and producing. And Elon Musk is a steady voice on this. I appreciate that. And I think that, like, when you think about your value to other people, like, are you working hard with people, alongside people, or are you a drag on people? Do people consider you as part of whatever the cause or effort is, if it's, you know, in your family, if it's at work, if it's in a church community, if it's in a community group of some kind? When you show up, does the work get expanded? Or when you're there, is it drawn back? And I think Elon Musk coming out and saying this, I'm like, this is your lane. More.
Yeah.
Lead.
I agree. And I please God, give somebody on the left that platform, because right now you got Elon, you got Kevin O'Leary, you got Jordan Peterson talks about this a lot, Mike Rowe, they're all on the right. That doesn't have to be a conservative principle.
We don't need to own it, but
it needs to be a principle that everybody agrees with.
Yeah, certainly. The YouTube live chat poll for today: how much destruction did the airstrikes cause to Iran's nuclear facilities? Brad, your thoughts? Setback for months, yep. Setback for years, or obliterated?
Obliterated. I don't think that there's anything left. If they want to restart their program, they got to start a new one.
Ryan, what do you think?
I am setback for years.
What do you think, Ethan? You got thoughts on this one?
I'm also setback for years.
I'm setback for years as well. And as I said earlier, if I'd have put a fourth option in there that said setback until a Democrat becomes president again, how many of you would have voted for that?
I would have voted for that one.
Let's get the results, Ethan.
256 votes on today's YouTube live chat poll. How much destruction did the airstrikes cause to Iran's nuclear facilities? 58% say setback for years, 33% say obliterated, and 9% say setback for months.
I think that's pretty much confidence in what the president has said. He says obliterated. By obliterated, he might mean setback for years. But the specificity of the nuclear facilities, those things, I think, are toast. The nuclear ambitions, for now. Mark Reardon's show next, right here on 97.1 FM Talk.